Hi, my name is Andrew Connell, and in this brief video, I'm going to walk you through the Office 365 Development Patterns and Practices Sample Provisioning.Subsite Creation app. In an effort to help customers address the most impactful and useful scenarios, the Office 365 Development Patterns and Practices group has created a number of code samples that complete common customer scenarios. The code is published in a public GitHub repository located at https://github.com/officedev/pnp, and it contains solution packs of content as well as sample packs of sample code that has been reviewed by the Office 365 team and blessed as a recommended way to approach these different scenarios. This solution uses so-called remote provisioning pattern to provide a flexible subsite templating system. Old models using either site definitions, web templates, or feature stapling could cause challenges with the evergreen model, meaning more frequent releases of new capabilities to the cloud and on-premises. Using the remote provisioning pattern will initially require some additional code, but since sites created using this pattern are always based on out-of-the-box site definitions, you won't need to worry or need to perform any updates when new capabilities are stapled to the out-of-the-box templates and updates provided by Microsoft either in an on-prem or an Office 365 development. This will have a significant reduction in the long-term maintenance costs for your custom solutions. Let's see the sample in action. Before we dive into the code for this sample, let me go ahead and take a look and show you how this thing works. So what I have here is a couple projects, and I've gone ahead and set these up to work with my Office 365 site. I'll go ahead and click Start, build this project, and fire it off, and we'll take a look at it. First thing we'll do once the site's been deployed or the project has been deployed, I will first go in and say we trust this app. And the startup here you can see has been set up on our local host. That's because this is a remote site. I'm going to come over here to the back to site, go to open a new tab, and point to our parent site. So you can see here we're Office Dev PMP 01. If I come over here to the site contents, take a look at site contents, we can see there's no subsites. So let's come over here to the subsite creation. And here we can say let's pick a site that we want to create. So I'll create a team site. We'll give it a name, say my first subsite, and we'll give it a name, just subsite 01. We'll give it a description, something fantastic and brilliant should go here. And then I'll go ahead and say create. This is going to take a second to go ahead and create this site. And here we have the subsite has been created. We can see where this is under Office Dev PMP 01. We can see subsite 01 is listed up here as well using a custom theme. Come back to the site contents on the parent site. And if I refresh this page and scroll down, we can see my first subsite has been created here. Now, one of the things that our project did as well is that it wanted to modify what happens when we try and create subsites. We want these subsites not to be created inside of this, inside the standard interface. We want our sites created using our interface. So if I come over here to the site contents page and scroll down, if I go to new subsite, what you'll see is I'm going to be taken out of SharePoint into my app. So if you watch the URL, when I click on this, you'll see I was taken to the local host to go back to my same application here. All right, so that's the project. So let's go ahead and let's take a look at how this code implements all of this. First off, if I take a look at our app project and I look at the app manifest, we can see that this is a provider-hosted app, and you can see that the default page is coming from this web project. So let's take a look at that. Inside this default page, there's nothing really fancy here. Because if I scroll down a little bit, all we'll see here are just some input fields, like here's where I can choose from the different sites that I want to be able to create. Here's a title that I want to use. Here's the URL that I want to use for the new project. And then here's a description with the create button. So let's look at the code behind this page, because that's where the real meat is happening. Like so many of the other samples, this pre-init, this is just a default thing that we get inside of the dev tools. And I also have a little page load, which is going to add the Chrome control to our page. Now, what happens when I click create? What that's going to do is it's going to first go in and create a reference to, or obtain a reference to, the client context with the identity of the app and the user is embedded in, and it is one. We then are using this method here called create subsite to create our subsite. So let's take a look at that. Well, before we take a look at that, actually, you can see that once the site is created, it's returned back, and I'm actually going to write out the URL of the page. So let's come down here and look at our create subsite. I'm using this create this web creation information object to define the template, description, title, and the URL and the language of the site that I want to create. If I was doing this with fully trusted code, I wouldn't need to use this web creation information object if I was doing this in a farm solution on the server. Instead, I could just create a new SP web and then set up all the different settings and save my changes for it to create the site the way I would like for it to be created. Then down here, I'm creating a reference to a site. Now, this is just going to null reference, because what's going to happen is I'm going to call the webs.add method on my SharePoint site, pass in the creation information object to create the subsite, and then give me a response back that contains a reference to that site. I'm then going to say go load this and then go execute the query. So this is one of the changes that I'm not going to have to worry about when I'm working on the server for SharePoint. Next up, I'm going to add a little subsite link override. We'll look at the JavaScript for that in just a moment. And then the last thing here is that I also am going to set the theme based on a name. So I'm going to use the orange theme on our site. And that's what gave it the orange look and feel. So let's see how this is implemented in the JavaScript to control. We saw how the site's been created, but let's look at this JavaScript that's being added to every page within our site. This adding the JS link. We have this little thing called the lab helper script right there, this little code file, and that's just inside this lab helper file, which is just going to go through and set some themes for us and some other a little bit of other code to go make some changes, like adding this JS link to our pages. Okay. The way that the JavaScript is being added to every single page out there is that when we call this AddJS link, what AddJS link does is it creates a custom action, gets referenced to all the custom actions, and then it goes in and it creates a custom action. If the custom action that we're creating already exists, then it deletes it and it recreates it. So we have one here called scenario one with script link. That's because we're creating one called, a little bit farther down, we're creating one called scenario one. This script link right here, what this says is it's going to allow me to inject JavaScript into every page inside of the site that we just created. So that now when the site is actually rendered, it's going to go through and add in this JavaScript file in each one. Now, let's take a look at the JavaScript that's getting added to all the pages. Now, this is the thing that's changing the create site or create subsite link on the site contents page so that it goes to our application and doesn't use the out-of-the-box SharePoint site creation. What that does is we just have a little bit of stuff here at the top that's going to register the script with the minimal download strategy. If the minimal download strategy is used or is not used, what this does here is it says, regardless, it's going to call this function called subsite override inject. Now, what it's doing in this line, this first line here, let me break these lines up, make them a little easier to read. What it's doing here in this first line is it's saying, if the current page that we're on is the viewlist.aspx page, that's the site contents page, and if we're also within the _layout/15 folder, which means that we're in a page that SharePoint has provided us, then call this function subsite override _override link to app URL. What this one's going to do here is it's going to get a reference on the page to something called the create new site. That element that is the new site link is called create new site. I'm then going to create a new URL, and assuming that I got a reference to my link, I'm going to replace the href for that link to to point to the URL for the custom app that I've created here. And so that's how you can see we've actually customized how the link works on the hosting page. So that's everything to do with this sample. And again, to get the code for all of the Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices group, make sure you go to GitHub at github.com/officedev/PMP. If you want to discuss these different samples, ask questions, and interact with the team, they have a dedicated group in the Office 365 technical network in Yammer. Just go to yammer.com/ITProNetwork and look for the group called O365 Dev Patterns and Practices.